Thank you. You may be seated. Well, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Okay. We have been speaking about several things. We've been emphasizing and re-emphasizing the truth that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We've been talking about what that means, what it is to be righteous, to be in right standing with God, what it is to be in right standing with God. We are righteous. We pointed out again in explaining what righteousness is. Righteousness says that we are in the family of God, we're in the kingdom of God, we are in right standing with God. There's nothing that you could do, basically, once you're in the family of God, there's nothing really you can do to get out of the family of God. Now, some people say that's ridiculous, but that is the truth. Because once you come into the kingdom of God, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. So your body and your spirit and your soul, it all belongs to God. Now, it doesn't mean that God immediately just comes in and forces you into things. What he does is that he gives you life within your spirit, and he intends for you through your spirit to be able to change your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, and bring your body under submission. That is why the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, in speaking to the people of God, not the world, he's speaking to the people of God. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He's talking to the family of God. He says, brothers, I beseech you, I beg of you, by the mercies of God, that you would present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is the least we could do, our reasonable service. And he said, and don't be conformed to this world's system, this world's way of doing things, but be transformed, changed, transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove or demonstrate what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. So God's responsibility is to change your spirit, have your spirit be reborn. And that's the righteous standing that you have in God. Your responsibility and mine is to begin to yield to the Spirit of God that is within us. And that Spirit of God will take us to the Word of God. So it's our responsibility to put the Word of God into effect, into our lives. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is going to take that Word and he's going to change. He's going to give us understanding of that Word, first of all, and change us. The Spirit of God will change us into the very thing that we're beholding. So it declares it in 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, for we all with unveiled faces means that you are now in the family of God. Your eyes are not veiled anymore. Now you're in the family. Before, when you were not in the family, you couldn't understand anything that pertains to the things of God. But now, you're in the family. So with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, James tells us that the Word of God is the mirror. So we beholding, we musing, meditating upon, looking into, focusing on what God has said in His Word. Says then the Holy Spirit takes that Word that we're musing on, and He gives us wisdom, revelation, understanding of that Word, and begins to change us into that Word that we're beholding. That's why it's vitally important that when you and I read the Bible, reading the Bible as it pertains to, if you want to get information, all of the Bible gives information. If you want to get understanding of who you are, then you have to look into the glory that's in here. It says, while we behold with unveiled face the glory of the Lord. And the reason why you have to look at the glory of the Lord is because all that Christ has done is done for you. And you and I have to learn to live by identification. We have to identify with all that Christ has done. And as we identify with what Christ has done, the Holy Spirit takes us and changes us into the very thing that we are meditating on. And then our behavior, meaning what we act out, would be consistent with the Word of God. Now, that aspect of it is what we call holiness. Because our walk, our lives, how we demonstrate our lives, what we do, it's the holy character of God. Don't confuse holiness with righteousness. Righteousness is your standing, coming into the family. That's what's done in your spirit. Holiness is walking out that righteousness within, from your spirit, coming to your soul and to your body, and walking holy before God. Okay, so your responsibility and mine is to be perfect like our Father in heaven is perfect. Amen. See, that's our responsibility. Now, again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about some works that we're doing. You know, okay, I'm not going to do this. All these kinds of things that we do to try and force ourselves to become holy. You know, it's nothing like that. This is a rest that we have in God. That as we can identify with what God is saying, focus on and keep our eyes and our hearts stayed upon what God is saying, then we will be changed into that thing. Amen. Now, that's righteousness and holiness that you and I are responsible to live by. Amen? Amen. So your life and mine should be characteristics of the life of Christ day by day. Every day, as we move forward, every day, what we're doing is that we're focusing on what God is saying to us. Now, as we come into the family of God, of course, there are so many things in this Bible that we need to learn and understand. So, indeed and in fact, when we come into the Word of God, when we're studying the Word of God, there are things that of course, if you don't know something, you know, you would tend to not be able to demonstrate that thing in your life. True? Okay, so it's a responsibility then to learn. So the more you want to reflect the glory of God in your life, is the more you will partake in the Word of God. Amen. And allow the Holy Spirit to bring revelation of that Word. Amen. Okay, so the Bible says that we should walk holy. We should walk holy. And so we need to understand what that is. We don't need to go back to things that we've been taught in times past about what holiness is. Because we were taught things that were incorrect as far as holiness. You know, folks looked at I wouldn't even say that they were incorrect. Some of it was. But what we were taught behavior and outward dress and all those things. We were taught those things. In other words, you know, how you dress and how you look and, you know, and those things were described as holiness. And there is a truth to that. See, because you need to dress modestly. Right? You know, the way you dress should not be a stumbling block to someone that has a lust problem. Are you with me? Okay, so there is a truth to what they were saying, you know, as far as holiness is concerned. But what the problem was that we didn't quite understand that we were a tripartite being, spirit, soul, and body. And that and everything that we're doing in our bodies, in our outward lives, has to come from a motivation of the Spirit of God that's in our spirit on the inside. And when you try to do things outwardly without any motivation of the Spirit working on the inside, then it becomes a law. It becomes drudgery. It becomes heartache. It becomes a set of rules that we can't keep. And then as a result of that, that first of all would turn our young people off, which it has in times past. Many of our young people, they went to the world. They went, some of them left to go to college. When they got there, you know, the things that were expressed to them by professors and all these others, you know, just actually got them confused. You know, and you know, as a result of that, you know, some of them walked away from the things that they had heard, not having any understanding. You know, but those who were genuinely born again always come back. Because of what the word says. If you're really born of God, though you're drawn away, you know, with wrong information, you know, you will come back to the truth, because once you have truth, the spirit of truth within you, then God will lead you through that spirit to understand truth. So I wanted to continue along those lines today, speaking about holiness. I want to emphasize and reemphasize, talk about holiness, because I don't want, as I said last week, I don't want anyone to think that because we are declaring that we are righteous and we are the righteousness of God in Christ, and that we walk and live by the grace of God, that we're going to use that grace and as a cloak of the liberty that we have in Christ, we're going to use that as a cloak of maliciousness to do things and live, you know, sloppy lives. Are you with me? Yeah, I don't want you to think that. See, because when we declare that we are the righteousness of God in Christ, you know, people say, well, I'm righteous. So, you know, all my sins, past, present, and future, they're already taken care of. So it doesn't matter. That type of attitude would question whether you really are born of God or not. Are you following me? You know, no, because if you're really born of God, there would be a yearning within your heart and mind and spirit, is a yearning for you to actually become more like Him. Bible says that, beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone that have this hope within him purifies himself even as He is pure. You know, you and I are supposed to grow daily. We're supposed to be changed daily. We're supposed to be changed and become more and more in our attitudes and behavior, more and more like Christ. Amen. Okay? So we want to hold the highest standard that God has given to us, the standard of holiness. That's the standard that we have. And we don't want anyone confusing our standard of holiness and living slipshodded lives. Amen. The Apostle Paul experienced this when he was teaching this message of grace. When he was teaching the message of grace. So what he had to express in Romans chapter 6, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. See, because what some folks were doing, they were taking the message of grace and saying, well, you know, we live by grace, you know, so since we live by grace, you know, we could live anyhow. We could do whatever we want. And so he had to correct that. And the reason why they thought that way was because of the message that he preaches, the same message that we're preaching today. We have copied his message. It is a message of grace. It is by the grace of God that you and I are saved. It is by the Spirit of God that we were drawn to Christ. And it's by grace and that same Spirit of grace and that same Spirit of God that we are going to be changed into the holy lifestyle that we're supposed to have. Yes. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So let's not confuse this. This is not, as some people say, a license to sin or to jump on the bandwagon, you know what everybody is sharing. This is the truth of the gospel. And we need to take insight and get insight from a truth when it's made even clearer to us. We need to take insight from it and respond to that. Are you with me here? Okay. All right. The grace of God. God's ability and the freedom that is in our lives. Now, let me just see if I can get some notes here. I would like you, if you will, to turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Does anybody here need, anyone here needs anyone to tell them that they should live holy? Do you need someone to tell you that you should live holy? You don't need that, right? I mean, if you're born again, you know that, right? Okay. Do you need anyone here to tell you that you are righteous? Well, if you're convinced that you are, then you don't need anyone to tell you anymore. If you're not convinced, then yeah, the Holy Spirit will convince you. But if you're already convinced, then there's no need for you to be convinced of that. But look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought you to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that you might charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. This is the verse I want to get to. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Okay. Back to verse 5. The end, or some translations may have the word goal. The end or the goal of the commandment is what? Is love. Charity is love. The goal of the commandment is love. In other words, what is God's goal for you? Is that you be a person of love, right? God is love, yes? God is love. So the goal of God is love. The commandment that God has given, all the commands that God has given, they all lead to one place. They lead to the goal of love. Yes? Okay, so the goal of the commandment is love. But there are three very important things here that are necessary to get us to that goal, to that end. There are three things that are necessary to get us to that end. And the three things are listed there. It says, now the goal of the commandment is love or charity, out of it, one, a pure heart, two, a good conscience, and three, sincere faith. All right, some translation has faith unfeigned. It means sincere faith, genuine faith. So if I am going to display, the end of the commandment, which is the goal of the commandment, which is love, if I'm going to display that, there are three things that are vitally essential and necessary as foundations, so to speak, so that I could spring up to become that or reach that goal of love. And it says, first, it has to be out of a pure heart. Out of a pure heart. Now, to understand a pure heart means that we have to understand what the Bible, when the Bible declares that in the book of Ezekiel, God had said that, first of all, in Jeremiah, it said that the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Anybody know that scripture verse? Okay, the book of Jeremiah, it says, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? That means the core of man, so to speak, the center of man, the core of man is desperately wicked. And we know that took place because of what the first man did, and he opened the floodgates of evil, so the knowledge of good and evil have been experienced by all of us. Okay, so in Ezekiel, when the scripture says, I said, first of all, in Jeremiah, the scripture says that the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Today, because we have not defined what the heart is and what the scripture meant by that, and then we don't understand, if we don't understand that, then, of course, we come up with conclusions that sometimes are erroneous. Okay? So, God said to, God did say through Jeremiah that the heart is desperately wicked and who can know it? And again, that came from what the first Adam, as I said, opened the floodgates for evil to come in by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But God said in Ezekiel, he said that I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new heart and I will take out that stony heart. And I'll give you a heart of flesh. Okay? A heart of flesh and a stony heart. Those are just symbolic words. He would make you pliable to everything that belongs to him. About he'd make you pliable to his nature. He would make you pliable to the things of God. This is what he's declaring. So a new heart I will give to you. And then he says, and I will put my spirit in you, and then I will cause you to walk in my statutes. The great thing about it is that so far he hasn't asked you to do anything. All he's asked us basically to do is to yield to this. But he will give us a new heart. He will put his spirit within us, and then he will cause us to walk in his statutes. Now, when he puts this new heart in us, that means that we have a new focus. The Bible declares it as being born of the Spirit of God in John 3:5. It says, except a man be born again, of course he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. When you are born of God, when you are born again, God gives you a new focus. And then what he does, he gives you the spirit of his son. You're born of his spirit. And then he takes his spirit and he puts his spirit on the inside of us. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is not in your body, so to speak, or not even in your soul, but in your spirit. Amen. Because that's the place that is pure. Amen. That was made pure. Amen. Because you were born of God. Now, of course, you still have a soul. You still have your mind, will, emotions. Your emotions are still flippant, right? Your mind is still sometimes filled with information that is ungodly. Yes? Am I all right? Sometimes you still will and do things that are contrary to what God's word says. Yes? So your soul is not pure like your spirit is pure. So when the Bible talks about your spirit, your heart, it's talking about that purity that you have because now you are born of God. Now, in order for us to reach the goal of genuine love, whatever we do have to stem from that purity of spirit or heart. You following me? But you know, the Bible uses so many different words at times, and because our English language is so limited, when the Bible uses the word heart, it refers to your reborn spirit. But sometimes it refers to your mind. See? And sometimes it can even refer to your emotions. And because our English language, as I said, is so limited, when we use a word in English, sometimes you have 3 and 4 different meanings of that word, but we use the same word. For example, you can say to me, I love my wife, or my husband, or my children. Right? Mm-hmm. And the very same word we use, we say, I love ice cream. So, if you're just looking at the, you know, just a statement, do you love your wife the same way you love ice cream? You know, so, there must be explanation. There must be, and the Word of God actually helps us. That's why we need the Spirit of God. And that's why the Bible interprets the Bible. You see, because, you know, we use words and because our English language is so limited, I've learned that in looking at the Spanish language. Spanish language is so more precise. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Amor, quiere. Yeah. You know, you have different words, right? In Spanish that tells you exactly what you're saying. But sometimes we use the same old word in English. So we get kind of, you know, we misinterpret things. And that's why it's necessary to go back and understand what God is saying. So when God uses the heart, and he uses the mind as the heart, and he uses the spirit as the heart, or even sometimes the emotions as the heart, then what God wants us to understand is that the heart is like a container. See? And it contains the spirit, it contains the soul, it contains the mind, it contains the emotion. And then the Bible goes ahead and says to us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth would speak. So, whichever is dominant within that heart will come out of the mouth. In other words, I might be a born-again believer, and my spirit might be born again and clean and pure, but my soul, meaning my mind, has wrong information in it, and that wrong information kind of inveigles my emotion. And so when something happens, because my mind is not in harmony with my pure spirit, my mind then begins to express the things that is dominant in it, that comes from the world, and causes my emotion to express that thing. So sometimes, instead of, you know, I don't know if you ever got angry and something came out of your mouth, and then you wish you could have pulled it back. Huh? Never happened. You know, it come out of the mouth. Sometimes you wish you could, oh, I wish I didn't say that. And then later on, when we are explaining and we are a little more in control, we say to people, well, I didn't really mean that. You know what I'm talking about? I'm just trying to get you to understand how we are made up, because our ultimate goal is to have the love of God and the holiness of God reflected out of our lives. And when we don't understand how things work, then we get into all kinds of confusion and trouble with it. So I don't want you to get into confusion. I don't want you to get into trouble. I want you to understand that. So I want you to see, when the Bible says that the goal of the commandment is love, out of a pure heart, it means then that your spirit that is pure must be dominant in order for you to get to that place of reflecting the genuine love of God. Are you with me? If your spirit is not in control, where it's not dominant, then you would not be able to. And you would really be functioning from the level of your soul or your mind that is influenced by the wrong thought. And then you would find that you had a desire to do what is right, but somehow this that is dominating you is causing you to do what is wrong. And then now you're what the Bible calls double suke. It's double minded, double soul, so to speak. And when you are living in that condition, we get further verification from the Word of God. In James chapter 1, it says that a double suke person, a double minded person, is unstable in all of his ways. Because at that point, you know, you are not walking in the spirit of holiness. What you're doing, you are walking after the dictates of the spirit of the world, which is what we call walking after the flesh. Are you seeing me? Are you following me? Okay. So we want to understand these things. We want to be in control of our own lives. You know, we don't want the enemy controlling our lives. We want to be holy people. And we don't want to be holy people just by word, you know, because the world is looking at us and they are requiring and demanding a higher standard, the standard of what we are declaring, you know. And so they want our behavior and our actions to line up with what we're declaring. That's why the world is so hard on the Christian and calls us hypocrites. You know, when their own do something wrong, they will excuse them. But when we do something wrong, they come down hard on us because they said, oh, those hypocrites. Why? Because we are those who speak words that bring conviction to their minds and their hearts and their lives. So they're expecting to see something different from us. And as long as they don't see the difference, then they are not compelled to want to follow us. What says thou? You understand? This is what we're working on. This is what we're moving. This is what we desire. And every person that I know in this room who is born of God, each person has that desire to want to have God's life reflecting out of them. Yeah, that's a fact. That's a truth. I know that for a truth. If you are born of God, you yearn for the life of God. You yearn for the things that God has said. You are dissatisfied many times with your Christian walk because you're looking and you're reading all these magnificent things that the Bible is saying about us, and yet we don't seem to kind of walk in it. You know. The Bible says that with his stripes I'm healed, but yet I seem to be fighting this sickness. I've been fighting it for so long. You know, the Bible says that Jesus says that I will supply all your need according to my riches. God is so rich, and yet I seem to struggle.
Yes?
So we go through that stuff. See, now, you know, we have to comfort one another and encourage one another and say, okay, don't get dismayed. You know, don't give up. Don't give in to other things, you know. Just stay focused upon what God is saying. Let Him, by His Spirit, open us up. Help us to understand. Because once we understand, then we'll be able to walk in it. And I declare to you that God has said that you will walk in it. And it's not 1,000 years from now because we don't have that much time. So what God is saying, He's saying, this is the time, this is the hour, this is the year, not next year, not tomorrow, now is the time. Are you with me? So that's what that's our desire, that's our heart, that's what we want. We want God, we want all of God. I don't know of any genuine brother or sister in God who does not want all of God. Now, I'm not saying that we exemplify that in our lives. I'm saying that the desire is there, but sometimes we are ignorant of going, how do we go about taking hold of all that God has given to us? How do we do it? And that's why we come to church, or that's why we should come to church. One of the reasons, that's why we study the word, that's why we listen to others, that's why we search the scriptures, that's why we get together and encourage one another. That's why when someone gives a testimony, says, well, look, I did it this way, this is what God has done, it encourages us to want to, whoa, yeah, if God did it for him, I know God could do it for me too. Because the word of God is no respecter of persons. You with me? So that's our life. That's our heart. So the goal is to walk in the love of God. Man. We yearn to walk in the love of God. Because love does not behave unseemly. Love is not puffed up. It's not proud. Love doesn't seek its own. Are we talking about walking on a level that not only the world is yearning for this, but we ourselves are yearning for this. You know, to walk with no stresses in life. Every stress that comes, you can deal with everything that comes because you have insight into the future. Because you know how things operate, how they work, how they function. Isn't that what church is really all about? Isn't that what the Bible declares? Isn't that what the Bible talks about? Isn't that the authority that God has given to you and me? Isn't that the life that Christ expects for us? And why should we come short of it? We will not. We're on a journey here. We're in the process and we're understanding. And day by day, God is revealing to us. So we're becoming stronger and we're becoming more mature and we're becoming more loving. Are we? Yes, we are. This is what the Word of God says. See, now, on this journey, the enemy's job is to keep you from having that vision. He's going to come in there and he wants to focus on everything that would cause disunity among the family. He wants to come in there and cause disruption. And so he takes anything and everything that he knows that he could use, and it all falls under one heading. The one heading is deception. So he works with everything that he knows that he could deceive us with. But we don't have to be deceived because if, as we learned last week, there's only one place that Satan can work. And that's in darkness. And remember, darkness is wherever there is an absence of God. That's where the enemy works. So if you and I stay focused and stay in the Word of God and to allow our spirits to be revealed truth by the Holy Spirit, then our spirit or spiritual drives, so to speak, would always be dominant. Once they are dominant, then it can bring our mind, our will, and our emotions so that they can come in harmony with our spiritual drives. And then you know your body is just going to follow your mind. Are you with me? So genuine, to get to this goal, this end of love, you have to understand that you are righteous. You have to understand that in your spirit, you are complete and perfect. You've got to understand that. You're not going to get any more perfect in your spirit. And if you want to walk in that perfection, if we're going to walk in that perfection, what we have to do is to allow those spiritual drives to control our lives. See, and this way, our souls are going to be in harmony and our bodies are going to be under submission. And we're going to be walking lives that would be characteristic of the life that Christ himself walked when he was on the earth. And when the world sees that, then they're really going to know that Christ, that God sent Christ, and that Christ really belonged to us and he really is in us. So this is love. Coming to this goal of love, it has to begin out of that pure heart. So if you don't understand what it means by that pure heart, what it means to walk in the Spirit, what it means to function from the Spirit of God, or your spirit on the inside, your spirit and God's spirit is one. Bible talks about it. Here, this is how the Bible says it. It says it in Colossians chapter, I think it's Colossians chapter 3. It says, if then you are risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sits. It says, set your affection or your mind on things, not the things of the earth, but on the things above. Right? Then it goes on to make this statement. It says, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Then it says, now, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then shall you appear with him in glory. All right? So, let's understand what it's saying. It says, you have that verse there? Okay, it says, for you are dead, right? Question. When it says you are dead, who is dead? When it says, you are dead, who is dead? All right, let me help you. The old you. Okay, remember before you were born of God that you did whatever the spirit of this world directed you to do. Right? That old you is dead. Bible calls it in Romans chapter 6, the old man. The old man is crucified. Say, is crucified. Okay? It didn't say, is going to be crucified. It says, is crucified. What tense is that? Is crucified. Past tense, right? It's already done. It is crucified. It's not going to be crucified. See, and now we get confused. Say, well, I thought we have to crucify it daily. No. That's another aspect of what it's talking about. What it's saying is that your old man is crucified. That's what Christ means when he says in Colossians, for you are dead. And then he goes on to say, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, what life is that? Is that the old life that was dead? No. The old life that was is dead, is crucified, it's dead. Now he says, but your life is hid with Christ in God. What life is that? The new you. The new you. That spirit part of you that's born again. That's the new you. And Corinthians says, in 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. See, so when you are born of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in you, your life is hid in the Holy Spirit. The life that you and I live right now is the life that is directed by the Holy Spirit. So my life, I'm dead. And my life is hid with Christ in God. Now when Christ, who is my life, will appear, remember, the Holy Spirit, his responsibility is to take everything that belongs to Christ and to reveal it to you. That's what Jesus said before he left. He says, it is expedient or advantageous for you that I go away, because if I don't go, the Comforter will not come. But he's going to come, and when he comes, he's going to take everything that belongs to me, and he's going to reveal it unto you. Yes. How does he do that? It's done by the Spirit of God. Yes. So your spirit, your life is hid. Your spiritual life, your spirit is hid with Christ in God. You are hid in the Spirit of God. Yes. So everything that is done by the Spirit of God in you. Don't you realize how powerful then you are? You are like God himself. Now don't misunderstand what I said. I didn't say that you are God. I said you are like God himself, because your spirit and God's spirit is unified. It's one. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us. That's when it says you are righteous, it wants you to understand that your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you would appear with him in glory. The time is coming for that. But even in this life here, the glorious aspect of the life of the Holy Spirit, when it is reflected through you, it's reflected as the glory of God. That's how people are going to be able to look, and they're going to see your body, but they're going to experience his life. It's going to be our bodies, because these bodies are still the bodies that we're going to be using, but it's going to be our bodies, but his life. Because our lives are hid with him, and he is the one that is having preeminence in our lives. Are you with me? This is where we headed. And you've read this before. You've read in Romans where it says, for the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit who is given to you. So when we learn, I'm trying not to go off. You see, because every time I say something, there's something else that triggers that I want to go and make reference to in the scriptures. Well, let me make reference to this. Or should I? Oh. You have read in the Bible where it says that he, in Hebrews, it says, he that has entered into God's rest does what? Ceases from all his works. He that has entered into God's rest ceases from all his works. See, look. This is you. The real you, the born again you. This is the Holy Spirit of God. He that has entered into his rest, he ceases from all his works. He is just resting. The one who's really going to do all the work is the Holy Spirit. We read stuff in the Bible where it says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. And so we're doing things to work out our salvation. But it says, For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The life that God has called you and me to is a life of rest, where we cease from trying to be good, where we cease from all these other things. And all we do is rest in God. And as we rest in God, then God, by His Spirit, will begin to work through us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Listen to the quality of life that I'm talking about here. Remember, we'll deal with the soul part and the body part in a moment. I'm dealing all with the spirit part here. And listen to what I'm talking about. Listen to the level of life that I'm talking about. Do you remember your big brother, Jesus, when he walked the earth? You know, every movement of his was for divine purpose. He didn't do anything that he, per se, wanted to do. He did everything that his Father wanted done. And that's what he said. He says, listen, I could do nothing of myself. John 5:30, he says, I could do nothing of myself. What I hear is what I do. What I hear is what I speak. What I see is what I do. In other words, it's all the Spirit of God that was working in and through him that caused him to function. So while he walked the earth, he understood the principle. This is what he said in Philippians when he was speaking through the Apostle Paul. He said, Philippians chapter 2. It says, if there be any consolation. Somebody find it for me. Philippians chapter 2. I don't want to read from verse 1. I want to get down to verse keep reading. All right, let's start from this point. Okay, in Ephesians 2, it says, is it verse 5? Philippians 2:5. Okay, now it says, let this mind be in you. Which mind? Says the mind which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm talking to you about. See, Christ, when he walked the earth, he was in total surrender. Whatever his Father wanted, that is what he did. So his life really was hid. And it really was the Father's life that was being revealed. Because he could only do what the Father told him. It says, let this same attitude be yours. Let this same mind be yours, which was also in Christ Jesus. Listen, who being in the form of God, didn't think equality with God was something to grasp at. But he made himself of no reputation. In other words, it's not what I want. It's not my reputation. It's my Father's reputation. It's what my Father wants. And he says, let this same mind be in you. Who being found in fashion as a man. Jesus. Being found in fashion as a man. He did what a man should do. What should a man do? Humble himself. And when you humble yourself to the life of Christ or the life of the Spirit of God working in you, when you humble yourself to the life of the Father, then the Father works through you. Every movement of yours become one for a divine purpose. You walk exactly in the will of God in the earth as Jesus did. Is that possible? Of course it is.
Not only are we given an example by Christ, but he has given us the very spirit and the very presence and the very power to be able to do the very thing. Listen, that's where we are headed, folks. I'm talking about the body of Christ. The true family, that's where we are headed. Hallelujah. Are you with me here? Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord. You know, I'm thinking of a scripture verse. It says in Hebrews, I think it's chapter 5, it's talking about strong meat. I think it's 5:13. Somebody check it for me. It's talking about babes and milk and strong meat. Is that it? 5:13? Could you read it for me? What does 5:13 say? Stop there for a moment. For everyone who uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Now, see, you have to make a judgment on your own life. You got to figure out whether you, that's talking about you, or the other section is going to talk about you. Read the, continue for me. See, there are those that are babes. If you're a baby, you will be unskillful in the word of righteousness. If you don't understand the fundamentals, that's why it was important for you to understand that you are righteous, see. That's why it was fundamental and essential that you understand that you are a tripartite being, spirit, soul, and body, and how they function, how they operate, and how it needs the word of God to separate them. Because you and I just can't separate them like that. We've got to understand these things. We've got to understand that you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. You've got to understand that, this is all about the life that is on the inside of you. Christ's life. Your life is hid with him. It's all about the Christ life. How is it possible for you and I to have the same mind if we have the same Christ? The mind of Christ. See, a baby is unskillful in these things. A baby is into milk. They are there with comparisons. I am of Paul. I'm of Apostle. Peter. Cephas. I am of this. You know, all these factions and dissensions. And that's not what this is all about. Strong meat belongs to them who, by reason of use, have their exercises, their senses exercised to discern what is good and what is evil. That's where we need, that's where we go. Listen, you can't have this casual once a week type religion and think that this type of stuff is going to happen. No way, no how. You've got to give yourself to him like Jesus did. He gave himself to his father so his father could have his will and way through him. This is not a part-time job. This is something that's a full-time walk. Are you following me? I'm talking about holiness here. I'm talking about holiness. I'm talking about God's life through you. I'm talking about people looking at us one day and saying, who is this man? Even demons are subject to him just by the word that he speaks. This is a man of his word. That's where we want to get to, right? We all want to get to that. All of the genuine believers in God want to get there. All kingdom people. Oh, we do have obstacles and stuff, and God is showing us how to deal with them. You know, He's showing us. So that's why we don't walk in condemnation. We don't condemn ourselves. Well, I know what I did last week and I shouldn't have done that. Okay, you know what you did last week. Now you know how to correct it, right? Because you are one of those who can be instructed in righteousness. It's like it says in Timothy, for the word of God, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God's breath, and it's profitable for doctrine or teaching, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Babes can't handle that, according to what we just read. You've got to get to the place where your mind, where you are able to exercise your senses to discern what is good and what is evil. I started, I wanted to go through the 3 points. But I can't get off the first point. That first point is out of a pure heart. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. A pure heart. You have to understand how it functions. How it works. How we can rest in all that God has said. How we can have the mind of Christ. Amen. We've got to understand that we are perfect in our spirit. Amen. We are perfect in our spirit. We were born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. You know, we are perfect in our spirit. Amen. We're not in our souls, and we're not in our bodies. One day we'll have new bodies.
Hallelujah.
Yes, we need to rejoice in that. One day we'll have new bodies.
Yes.
Okay. One day our souls are going to be brought and be kept in a blameless state. That's what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 talks about. Amen. Whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved or kept blameless. I don't think I want to go on to point 2 and 3. Because I'll need 2 hours of point 2 and I'll need 3 hours of point 3. So I would need to stop. You know God loves you, right? You know there's no condemnation to God's people, right? There's no condemnation. If while you're sitting here and I'm speaking, you feel something that's grabbing on the inside of you, that's just the Spirit of God. Not for condemnation. Absolutely not. Because He is there, the Spirit of God is there to guide you. He wants to guide you. He wants to guide you. So while your conscience comes alarmed with some things or is alarming you with some things, remember the Holy Spirit is right there with you and for you. He loves you. He wants to lead and guide you into all of the truth. He wants to take everything that belongs to Jesus, and He wants to reveal it to you. That's what He wants to do. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm so glad I came today.